ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. President.
Hi, Mel. How are you?
Fine.
I had a I had a good talk with Rush, and he said he was coming over to talk to you tomorrow. And I think you will find that in terms of our immediate problems and so forth, if he can work out the conflict of interest thing, that he would work very well.
Well, he'll be excellent.
Here's the point. There are two or three things that I don't want to talk about in any large forum that I particularly was in. First of all, he knows MBFR, which of course is a area where you've got to fight like hell, you know, to drag your feet. He knows SALT due to his where he has been, where he also will represent a very strong point of view. Third, he is a man who knows the government. In other words, he knows how to operate. He's a man. He's a great having worked with you in Europe on two or three things. Who has great respect for you, and he says he just wants to be a team player, and he has no ambition to do anything more, which is another good thing. And I really feel that I want you to have a very good talk with him, and if you feel that he could do it, and if you can work out the, I think Mitchell, of course, is the expert in conflict of interest. He thinks he can. He and Mitchell have been friends in New York for years. He worked, as you know, or well, as probably you maybe don't know, he has the business background because he was a chief executive officer of Union Carbide. So he knows the business types extremely well. What he does not know, of course, is the intricacies of procurement and all that sort of thing. But there, he'd have to rely on Moot and your service secretaries. In other words, the team you've already gotten, which actually is what anybody else would have to do.
Well, we've got a good man in Moot, and he'll be very helpful to him.
Right.
I really am very delighted. Yeah. You know, I talked earlier with your people over there in the White House about either Porter or Rush back 7 or 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of got shot down on it.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason that you get that they shot down Rush was that then we had the German thing.
Yeah, I'm sure
they couldn't spare him. But now the German thing, he's done everything he can in Germany. We've got to find a good man.
And he's been a terrific ambassador.
Yeah. Well, hasn't he been? But he told me. I said, because I talking to him, I don't want to have any situation where in a position that important working with you, you've got some guy you think is not compatible. He said that, he had a totally good relationship with you, and that's what he said. So if you feel the same way,
well, he's been most helpful.
Then I think we can, then we could go on it. So, but you have a good talk with him tomorrow.
I will, and I thought it would be all right with you, Mr. President. I'd have him talk. I asked Dave to stay over and spend a little time with him tomorrow too. I thought it'd be well for him to talk to Dave too.
Oh, of course, to the extent that Dave would be willing
to just talk with him for a few hours.
Yeah, and so he knows what the heck what to do and so forth and so on. But I think you'll find him he's smart too, you know.
I like him very much. I like his wife and my Barbara and I have gotten to know both of them, and we like them very much. And
I've only met his wife once, but she seemed to be very nice.
Yeah, she's a very good gal.
And he said when Mitchell checked it out with him, he asked whether he would be available. Well, Rush says, well, to be perfectly frank with you, he says, I'd a hell of a lot rather stay in Bonn than to be in Washington. But he says, I will also have to say that my wife would much rather be in Washington than be in Bonn. So that would be a...
Oh, that's a fine solution, Mr. President. I was only trying to get somebody.
I know.
I'll tell you, you really need the help over here.
I know. And another thing, too, he told me that you had mentioned to him that you wanted to take wanted somebody there so you wouldn't have to keep the nose to the grindstone, and I'm all for that too, because you've been you haven't gotten away, and with him you have a man who's totally trustworthy, who would not make a mistake. You know what I mean? He's just too damn smart. I mean, he's a lawyer, of course, without and very cautious in that respect, and he isn't going to go running off the track. So I think as you take a look, he's seeing you tomorrow, I understand.
Yes, he's coming in here.
That's what I asked him to do, so you can talk very frankly with him and straight from the shoulder. He's that kind of a guy, if you can close the deal, fine. On the conflict of interest thing, you can check with Mitchell to see, or
That's the only problem.
Is that I don't know. I don't think, Mel, that Rush. Well, maybe this is a bigger problem. He doesn't have a hell of a lot of money. But on the other hand, I suppose it's harder for him to lose it than a fellow like Packard. While a guy like Packard loses more, it hurts him less. Yeah. But when a guy's got, say, maybe, well, it sounds like a lot to me, but maybe he's only got $2 or $3 million, it hurts him a lot more to lose a quarter of it than when he's got $300 million.
You know, I went through his holdings with him when I talked this was 7 or 8 months ago. I talked to him. He's got 42,000 shares of Union Carbide. I've got the list of his shares.
I see. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You think you can work him out?
If I can get Stennis to agree to give him 6 months, that would help him an awful lot.
Oh, I see. Can you? Well, you might be able to do that.
I think I could. Yeah. I'm going to try.
There sure isn't. Does Union Carbide? That I wouldn't think.
That's a big
defense contractor
with him. Well, then, all of our batteries and all of our tanks.
Oh.
We've got all sorts of business with him.
So that would be.
And our contractors are big with him.
I see. Well.
But we'll work that out, Mr. President.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to worry about
right.
that. If we can get them to come aboard.
Now, the other thing is this that I wanted to talk to you about. I understand Henry's talked to you, but I wanted to do it directly in terms of the... On this withdrawal thing, Mel, I think we've got to go just a little above what we've done previously, and I know it's a tough time, but it seems to me that... the 70,000 number, and the way I was thinking, wanted to do it, was that I would just announce 70,000 by May 1st, and then have you brief on it, you see, and my tentative thinking was to do it Thursday at the White House, so that you catch the 11 o'clock. My feeling is that 70,000 is about 1,000 to 1,500 above the other number, but then in April, then we have to make the Fisher cut bait statement depending upon that. But I didn't talk to Henry, but I understand that you've had some doubts about whether we go that high. I always wonder whether we can go it high at all, because I know they're mounting, they've got all these new people and everything there. But the way things are now, there isn't a hell of a lot that many can do anyway.
No, we can.
But can you handle the 70?
Mm-hmm.
And,
we can handle it.
And also, I think it would put us in a very bad position, because both you and I have indicated that Vietnamization is working, that we're able to go up a little. And what is 70,000? That would be 3 into what? That's 20...
Well, it's about 20... 20.
It's less than 25. It's 23.
Yeah, 23,
and our number before, it's 23 and a half. 20. So we're up 1,000.
It's about 1,000 a month more or something.
And that's a damn good number.
Yeah.
And that's down to 69. And then April 15th, we will take another look.
And this is, we're going to have some, I think in the briefing when I get in, I think I should let people know that South Vietnamese are going to take a few bumps in the next.
Yes. I think you could, when you come over, that we'll talk a little about it too, and then you can give me an idea, indicate right. But what I had in mind was that you would indicate that there will be the present indications are that the North Vietnamese are as is the custom at this time of year, building up for their usual Tet Offensive. That this year the South Vietnamese are going to have to meet the responsibility of meeting that offensive. That they will also launch an offensive in Cambodia, just as they have already launched one in Laos. Our efforts in this respect will be concentrated by the use of our air. That we will continue to, you know what I mean. But I think you should prepare for that. But on the other hand, I think it's very important to give at this, as the Congress comes back and with all of the possibility of resolutions and with deadlines and the rest, to give a feeling of confidence.
Well, I can do
upbeat,
that.
Because goddamn it, we've done a hell of a job here, as you well know. And this Vietnamization program, nobody thought we'd be this far along. And if they come back to say, well, why did you have the airstrike? Why, we can certainly see why now, can't we? Yeah.
Well, I am confident that I have no problems at all on that, Mr. President. Yeah. I'm sure the North Vietnamese will try one or two spectaculars, but
sure.
That's all.
And I think you should say that. We should expect them, and that all battles are not won, but that the South Vietnamese will prevail. They are now strong enough to defend themselves, you should say. On the other hand, as you well know, what happens in Laos and Cambodia is that's a tough one. Well, it's important and also questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just hope to God that I would think, I don't know what you think, that what the South Vietnamese can do in the Cambodian area should be able to keep that from going under. Would you not think so or not?
Yes, I do.
Laos is another thing.
Laos is pretty tough, though. We put 2,000 tons of B-52s in there in the last 2 weeks of bombs, and I'm not sure.
Did any good?
I'm not sure, Mr. President. I hope it did, but, I'm...
Where do they land? I don't know. They must
see,
hit
well, we're bombing. We can't get the reports from our pilots, and I'm trying to get reports from godly... But you have to get that
isn't
up.
Isn't the reason that we just don't have people around that can see it? Is that it?
Right.
And I suppose they've got them well camouflaged, controlled, and so forth.
The psychological impact of that must be worth something.
2,000. Jesus, that's a lot of stuff. Jesus.
Those are just B-52s in the last.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. If we'll. My feeling is that we will. I told Warren today to just say we would have another announcement before the end of the month. That's the way I'm leaving it. But for your information, that I think if you could come over, let's figure it for the 11 o'clock briefing here, which means that you and I should get together, say 10:30.
All right.
And we'll have a meeting, and then I will walk out with you and make a one-sentence statement that we are reducing to 69,000 ceiling by May 1st, and that the Secretary of Defense will brief you now on the details, and I'll walk out and then let you do the thing. See, the reason I don't want to do it, there are several. One reason is that I've got to be in a position to say something on the diplomatic front, maybe in the near future, and I don't want to talk about the prisoners for deadline, all that sort of thing, and which you can handle. You've been handling it, and I think you can handle it again. Does that sound all right to you as a game plan?
Fine.
Now we'll do this on. We'll do this live. This will be not live, but we'll do it taped for television.
Fine.
So it'll be a way to get our story off on Thursday.
All right.
Okay. Fine. I hope Rush works out.
Oh, I'm sure he'll work out.
Yeah, and I hope you can work.
There's one thing that I hope that John Mitchell and I sometime can sit out and visit with you about the political problem that might come up on this other matter that I've been talking with the Attorney General about.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to have a game plan on that, Mr. President.
You mean this leak?
Yeah. But that's something...
I guess the fellow they think did it is gone now, but we don't know how far along.
But that just bothers me, knowing the kind of things that were going on.
Hell of a thing, yeah. Hell of a thing, yeah. You can imagine sort of the pain it causes us because it's really unconscionable, but we can't do anything because you can't blow that. We can't hurt the Chiefs. That's the point. You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand.
It'd be a terrible thing. What we did, Mel, here, I think, is just inherit a situation that they just continued. They've been doing it with the previous administration. They just continue with this one. Don't you think that's it?
Yeah. Well, they got a little. They carried a little further in the last 10 months.
Did they?
Since this Wellander admiral was over there. I'm
Wellander.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know him, but
they've gone a little too far on
that. Yeah. Well.
But
you and John and I'll have a talk about it at some point.
We ought to.
But in the meantime, if you could prepare your Q&A and discuss it and with me at 10:30, so that we can say you discussed it with and all that sort of thing, and the toughest one is the prisoner for deadline. In one sense, but in another sense not, because the North Vietnamese have withdrawn. I mean, they have flatly said that they will accept nothing. But
no, I think that was taken care of last week.
But I think you should emphasize that point.
Sure.
Emphasize the point that not only last week, but back in October, that screwball McGovern is over there, the next day in their conference, they said, no, you've got to overthrow Q and stop the bombing and stop all aid to South Vietnam, which is an entirely different thing than prisoners for deadline.
Well, every time I've gone to NATO, I've met with Porter and before that with the other representatives, and I've followed that closely, and that record is very clear. So I don't think I don't have to back away from that
good.
One bit.
All right. Well, we'll see you Thursday at 10:30 then, unless something comes up.
All right. Fine.
All right.